I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start of the game, you went first six plays all out of shotgun, a three and out. And then it was a potential three and out. There was a penalty. From there, I did the math, 50 plays, only 12 were under shotgun. And you guys really made most of your gains, you know, not going, you were under center. What was the philosophy of change after those first six plays to go back under center?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting when you look at our first drive of the game, you know, you always try to track the weather, right? But yeah. As we know in Buffalo, it's you can go after pregame, you can come back and it can be a perfect night. You can come back after pregame. It can be field can be covered in snow. And, you know, we felt obviously you got to do a better job on the first two plays, you know, and then we get the penalty. But when you look at the difference in the first drive and the second drive, just how the field, the landscape was. And then just doing a great job trying to just communicate with the wideouts and the tight ends, you know, on the offense, making sure, hey, what does the footing look like? What's it look like looking up, you know, little things of, hey, it's, you know, there, it's snowing in the lights at dark, you know, how does it feel tracking it, all that stuff of, you know, so a lot of things kind of went at play and you can plan for these things. We knew it was going to be a weather condition game, but, you know, until you're out there, every snow game's a little bit different. And, you know, so it was more of just a change in philosophy in terms of just kind of, hey, the footing, the understanding of, hey, the type of runs and the type of cuts we're going to have to be able to make now that, you know, the snow kind of piled down.
So just to kind of, you know, if I can like dumb it down a little bit, it would be just safe to say going straight ahead and instead of having to kind of go left and right and take a handoff like that and have to pick your way might be a little bit easier in those conditions.
Yeah. And I think, look, when part of, you know, what Brandon and Sean do a great job of, you're putting together a team, but we got to be able to win football games in this weather. Right. And there's a lot of different things that come with that, a style of play, but also the type of players that you have. And, you know, you got to be able to have players that can be ground and be able to make the cuts in the snow and understand how to do that. And that's tough, you know, getting a feel of kind of some of the guys and how that was kind of going allowed me to, hey, feel comfortable calling certain plays or sticking with certain plays, kind of how it was going. So loved how the guys kind of responded and made the adjustments needed.
Well, if I can editorialize for a second, that was a great adjustment. Just wanted to say that. So good job on that. But I also want to ask you about Dawson Knox stepping in for Dalton. It seems like when the weather gets colder, Dawson gets warmer, heats up a little bit. And he just comes through a lot of times in these late games. He has a touchdown streak going in the playoffs. But, you know, what is it about Dawson that you can rely on to know that, you know, in those situations, you know, he's going to be a guy you can count on?
Yeah, that's who he is. You know, it might be when it's colder in the playoffs, but regardless of production, you know, the faith, the belief, the accountability that he kind of, we know exactly he's going to do his job. And he's a stud and, all he cares about is winning football. And, you know, we win because of Dawson Knox's and, you know, his personality is contagious in terms of the football team and the way that he plays. You know, he'll get in there if he has to block 60 straight plays. He'll do that. If it's going to take us, it's going to mean that we're going to win football games. And, you know, and when he's having the opportunities in the past game, you know, it was such a huge play backed up yesterday and incredible throw by Josh moving in the pocket and finding him on the seam and him making the play with it after and big completion in the snow on the end cut. And so, you know, he just goes out there and makes plays and that's kind of who he is. And we have all the trust in him. And, because he doesn't care about the stats allows him and our offense to have success.
Hey, Coach, building off of Sal's question there, just with the offensive line, the last two games against, you know, Chiefs and Niners, they've been able to control both, you know, pass protection-wise and then set the edge in the run game. Just how important has that been of, you know, the offensive line being able to set a tone early in the game and then, you know, keep all the way through with maintaining that edge?
Yeah, it's, you know, you build your football team. We have Josh Allen, don't get me wrong, and we're always going to go as he goes, but your offensive line, if you can control the line of scrimmage and not just control it, if you can play on their side of the line of scrimmage, if you can protect him and keep your quarterback clean, you're going to have a chance to have success. And, it's very important to our guys. You know, you watch all the little things of, you know, how they are when, you know, picking up ball carriers or, you know, when Josh does get touched of running and picking him up, like everything is important to those guys. And they play just a, do a great job, you know, together as the five, or, you know, when Alex in the game is the six. And, you know, I love that group. I love how they're playing. And we just got to continue to find ways to continue to get better.
And then as the season has progressed, you know, third down efficiency has gotten better, you know, as the season's gone on. It was 50% yesterday, over 50% the last three games. Just what have you noticed from that scenario in particular where you guys have been able to find an advantage?
Yeah, you know, I'm never a fan of when we – I loved victory formation except when victories happen on third downs. But, no, I think a lot of it is just, you know, as the season gets on, you know, you kind of – getting a feel of how defenses are playing you, and Josh having a great understanding of kind of who our guys are and getting them in certain spots. And he's doing a great job with his legs and you know, when the plays aren't there and extending it, right? Every play is not going to be perfect on third down. And our guys just, at the end of the day, sometimes just going to make plays. And, you know, early in the game, we weren't living in manageable third downs. And as the game went on, we were living in more where we have opportunity to either go for it on fourth down or we were manageable, make life a little easier on us. And so as much as we can stay out of the chains, the better for us. But it's important for our guys to sustain drives. And, you know, in a game like that, if you can control the line of scrimmage and stay and convert on third downs, you know, you're going to be tough to beat.
We all know the myriad things that Josh Allen can do. What can't he do?
You'd probably have a better answer than I would, because I feel like every time you think he might not be able to complete a pass to himself, he finds a way, right? And so, you know, it's, I mean, he's, we get to appreciate, you know, one of the greatest players, right? And sometimes, you know, we take that for granted. And even myself, you know, I get to just be around him and be able to coach him. But the things that he does on a football field, you know, people can't do. And, you know, we live in an era where, you know, him and Mahomes and Lamar, everyone wants to critique and compare and all that. And man, it's such a, you know, the game of football is in such a good place with some such great quarterbacks, and it's a lot of fun watching these guys play. And I'm just grateful to be able to be around and be around Josh on a day-to-day basis and see him just continue to make plays. And it's just a lot of fun. Sometimes as a coach, I see it as, you know, you come away as like as a fan, like, wow. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
I appreciate the answer. I was trying to stump you there, but what is the key to this offense in being able to score this many points when we enter the season with this everybody eats approach, but, you know, this team is scoring 30 plus points per game for the last 6 weeks. What is the key to that success?
The key is the love that they have for one another and the character in the room. It's something that we've been making sure everybody was intentional about the relationships and making it important going back to OTAs. And, you know, I know everybody wants to make it about talent and scheme, but when you watch us play, it's important to each other. And, you know, we're playing for each other, not just with each other. And that starts way back then. And, you know, when we talk about the everything eats and you see when guys score touchdowns, you know, everybody's celebrating there, like that's important. And like I just talked about, when guys are getting tackled, are we helping them up? Or if we're getting tackled on their sideline, are we running to, you know, help our quarterback or whoever gets hit? And that's what I think is leading to success and leading to points. Everything else takes care of itself.
That's a fascinating point. And I need to follow up on that, Joe. When you say intentional, I mean, this is a game that is, this is a sport, and like all sports are filled with egos. How do you get that out of a group of guys to be intentionally selfless?
Well, I think, you know, this is a, this is the greatest athletes in the world, right? Like you have to have a level of selfishness. Like I want guys to want to be competitive and want the football, and that's what's going to make us go. But when you set a standard for when you care enough about relationships and you start that in off season and have conversations with guys and guys hanging with one another and seeing how together, how much, you know, the success that we can have, guys begin to believe and understand that, hey, if I do my job, it'll open it up for this guy. But knowing that, hey, in that next opportunity, now it comes to me, he's going to help it. He's going to help me. And it all comes together. And look, we have egos, right? You know, we're coaching football, you know, football players are the best of the best, and they want to have success and they want to bring stuff to the table. And I want that. I want guys every week coming saying, I can do more. And we have those conversations, but when we cross the lines, we're going to do everything we can to have success. And and play for each other and not just with each other. And I think that that is something that, you know, has helped us find ways to get the ball into the end zone.
You said something there that kind of is a good lead into what I want to ask you about. You know, the fact that all of you guys have egos. I mean, to get to the top of the NFL, to be in the NFL, I mean, I feel like you have to have a level of ego wanting to be better. You posted on social media yesterday the clip that the Bills put together and the receipts emoji. I didn't want to ask you so much about the post, more so the idea behind the doubt that faced this team and this offense and Josh Allen in the offseason, and how much you compartmentalize that as you're going through the season, knowing that you have a bunch of really competitive guys that maybe want to prove the doubters wrong.
Yeah, you know, it's not necessarily trying to prove the doubters wrong. It's just proving us right, right? Like, you know, I'm not naive. You know, I was sitting there in the off season and training camp and answering questions, and you know, can hear the concerns that people might have for our receiver room or the offense or this and that. But you know, we trusted our vision, and look, guys, don't get me wrong. We have to find ways to get better. We have not arrived. We are not where we want to be. We have bigger sights ahead. But you know, we had clear visions for what we were looking for, and I felt that that was, you know, that's what's important. And you know, I got the buy-in, the character, the philosophy, all kind of had to come together, and you know, for us to be able to find ways to have success. And you know, yes, you have to sacrifice some ego, but to get to where you ultimately want to go, you're going to have to do that. And we believed and we knew we were going to be successful offense, you know, because of the work that we put into the offense. And it's not proving doubters wrong. It's just us being able to go out there and show that this is who we believe and who we knew we could be. And we have to continue to do that and continue to progress and find ways to get to where you ultimately want to be.
You know, when you bring in bigger personnel, whether it's Alec, particularly Alec Anderson on the field, or 13 personnel, you're going to face more heavy boxes, stacked boxes. And most weeks you've still been able to run. You didn't really against Kansas City, but most every game, including this one, you've still been able to run. Just kind of what gives you the confidence to, you know, not be deterred by seeing stacked boxes?
Well, I think it's a combination of who we have, you know, having the confidence in our guys. And, you know, some of it had to do with the weather conditions, you know, last night. But just because it's a stacked box doesn't mean it's an advantage for the defense. And, you know, there's different types of alignments and gap integrity and opportunities to be able to create a you know, change a gap and, you know, try to get the defense to maybe hop their feet and us to be able to get on and get to the second level. And oftentimes, you know, when you stack a defense, you also have an opportunity. If you do, like what happened with Jimbo, is once you get through that first layer, you know, there's an opportunity to hit the big play. Sometimes there's, you know, you can go into a week and hope to get more stacked boxes. And sometimes you can go into a week and be like, hey, you know, it's going to be a better advantage for us to get more split safety. And, you know, to me, a lot of it has to do with just kind of what the boxes kind of look like, the gaps and, you know, the techniques that the guys are kind of playing.
You know, maybe you just, talk about what you liked on James' 65-yard touchdown run, and specifically what Mac Hollins gives you, his blocking. He had a nice block on that play and just his approach to run blocking.
Yeah, my favorite thing was not having to call another play. You know, I like that. He helped me in Miami do that as well. No, but it's, you know, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing sexy about the play, right? You're running a duo concept, and you're just getting double teams and, you know, trusting that your guys are going to be able to, you know, get a hat on a hat and be able to move a guy and get in double teams and, you know, and James be able to find open crease and make a guy miss like he did. And, you know, Mac Hollins, you know, I can speak all day. You guys have known how I felt about Mac Hollins going back into training camp and off season. And, you know, such an incredible, you know, signing for us, a big signing from everything that he brings on the football field, off the football field. You know, going in there and doing all the dirty work, you know, and he gets rewarded and gets a touchdown, right? And that's part of the everything everyone eats kind of mindset. But, you know, him in there, Alec made a great job, Mac going in, cleaning it up, and then Jimbo doing the rest. You know, it's a lot of fun to watch.
I just wanted to ask you just real quick about Ray. You know, you've seen it throughout the season. what he does to help balance your offense and how effective he is. And just for him being a rookie through 13 weeks here, 12 games, whatever it may be, is just, what do you think has led to his ability to be so effective, and what has stood out to you about the way he's kind of carried himself to, you know, especially in a game like yesterday where you need to have an emphasis on the ground attack, for him to play his role and be effective in that?
Yeah, I think, you know, you go back to, you know, Ray's, you know, coming out of the draft and, you know, the success he had at so many different schools and everything, you know, everyone kind of knows about his background and kind of how he's built. It's been incredible to see a, you know, a quote unquote a rookie, but he's extremely mature. But to be able to understand, you know, the highs and lows that a season might come, and some games I might not get a lot of carries, but be able to stay focused and stay locked in and know when his opportunities are going to come, that he's going to make the most of it in a game like that. You know, you felt him running behind his pads, you know, did a great job, you know, protecting the ball, and was a lot of fun to watch. You know, you look in the last couple of games, he hasn't got the touches, you know, that, you know, naturally all the running backs would want, that didn't shy him away from anything. And you know, sometimes rookies can kind of start doubting or anything like that. And, you know, I'm extremely proud of the way that he's kind of handled it. You know, love what he brings to our football team, right? And there's a reason that he was brought here, and what he brings to the running back room. And you got him and Jimbo and Ty putting those guys together. Man, we have all the confidence in the world. And when you see that, when, you know, these games are going to be played in the snow, and that's why you get those running backs that we have, and, you know, hope that you can be able to wear on teams with the offensive line. And, you know, and you know, it was fun watching them play behind their pads. And it's December football, it's January and February, and that's what we're looking to play, and guys like Ray Davis are going to help us get there.
Kind of piggybacking on a little bit of what Mark talked about, you guys had a lot of success with Duo last night. At what point did you guys kind of realize that maybe some of the tackle trap stuff, pull stuff, wasn't really going to be advantageous with the weather?
You know, I think you know, once you saw, you know, after the first drive, you know, some of the just with some of the footing and, you know, how it just was continuing to come down, and it was kind of packing down on the field. You got to kind of sit back. And, you know, there was other schemes that we thought, hey, maybe we can take a chance with and kind of work with. But, you know, I'm big on if it's working, you know, let's make them stop it before we get away from it. And, you know, and so it felt like the Duo scheme yesterday was something that the guys were, you know, felt comfortable in. It's, you know, it's kind of, we've been doing, they've had success throughout the season kind of doing it. And, you know, in conditions like that, where you might be getting different type of defensive looks, knowing that the defense with the conditions, you know, kind of give them what they know and allow them to, you know, kind of figure it out. And, you know, they did a good job adjusting.
You know, what is the pull like for you? You know, when you have a play like that's working, you touched on there, because obviously the feed them till they choke mentality makes common sense, but doesn't always happen, you know, in yeah. Football.
Yeah, I think, look, there's if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? But there's sometimes where, you know, hey, they, you know, after the game, sometimes you're always like, man, I should have came back to that. And sometimes you come back to it and it doesn't work, and that doesn't mean that it was a, you know, wrong to go back to it. You might be setting up the play pass that might come with it. And, you know, there's so many different layers to it. Sometimes a play just doesn't work because, you know, we didn't execute it, you know, but it might've got the look that we want. Sometimes a play works, you know, but we didn't block it correctly. We just made a guy miss, and it, you know, we can get caught up in this. Sometimes the results, you know, but, you know, last night the guys did a good job of just continuing to feel confident in the play and, you know, finding ways. And even on sometimes where we didn't get the necessary yardage, knowing that, hey, you know, continue getting to it and good things will kind of happen. And just proud of how they didn't blink.
How necessary is it to have some games like yesterday where you might be getting to situations where the defense knows what's coming and they can't stop you?
Look, I think every game in the seasons are all experiences that I think you're going to be able to hang your hat on, right? And you look forward to them, and, you know, you get to not necessarily check the box, but, you know, playing games in the snow, night games in the snow, with it snowing down, there's so many different layers to our growth as an offense and being able to see what we can and cannot do as the season goes on. And, you know, we might play another snow game and, It might just be snow on the ground and not snowing. It can change things. It might be a day game. It might, there's so many different layers, but there's something too. And, you know, when we, you know, we just line up and they know what we're running, you're able to find ways to have success. You know, there's a lot of power to that. And, you know, I was proud of the way that the guys kind of just continued to just, hey, let's just keep going to it. And they find ways to make it work. It's that ownership we always talk about.
Has Deion lobbied for more tackle traps next week since he didn't get them all in yesterday?
Deion just cares about winning and having a lot of fun. And I'm sure if Deion can wear ski goggles in a game and do what he has to do, life will be good. But Deion, all Deion cares about is winning and having fun and protecting our quarterback. And you know, he did a good job at that last night. All pro now.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.